Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 10 to 21. The Prophet and God. This passage shows the reality of Scripture. It's a passage that perhaps some would leave out if they were trying to sanitize the Bible. It doesn't show Jeremiah in absolutely tip-top condition, but this is the reality. My brothers and sisters were all sinners. And God uses sinners, weak, mortal, foolish sinners, to accomplish his will. I'm not excusing our sin, or our folly, or our stupidity, or our weakness. But the fact is, God doesn't wait until he finds a perfect man. There was only one perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, Peter, James, John, Calvin, Luther, Spurgeon, Whitfield, Wesley, all of them, we're all of us, we all have our flaws. We're all sinners. Praise God for the reality of Scripture. But Jeremiah opens his heart. Verse 10. You see, it is a tremendous burden he's got. A young man preaching to this people, a disobedient, stubborn, brazen people who will not yield. The long years now have gone on of Israel and Judah going away from the covenant, breaking the covenant, kicking over the law, disregarding Scripture, going to the pagans, bringing in idolatry, copying the pagans, running to the pagans for help when attacked and so on, going to Egypt and other places. And the prophet has preached against it, raised his voice against it, confronted the people. And it gets to him, and he opens his heart to God. Alas, my mother, that you gave me birth. This is what he's saying to God. Why ever did you bring me into the world? A man with whom the whole land strives and contends. I have neither lent nor borrowed, yet everyone curses me. This is how he feels it. He's overstating the case, of course. But this is how he feels. And my brother and sister, if you are being faithful to God, if you are making a stand in your family, in the church, in your place of work or leisure or residence, wherever it might be, I have no doubt that from time to time you will feel this same burden. The grief, the anguish of it to this man. What he is in public, of course, is a bold, brave, confrontational, strong man. But what he is in private in himself, he shows he is a weak, doubting, questioning man. And he gets to him this sadness. And God responds to him. Verse 11, with a glorious promise. The Lord said, surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Surely I will make your enemies plead with you in times of disaster and times of distress. God commends the prophet and assures the prophet of a glorious promise. He then addresses the people through the prophet. I'm sure that's what it is in verses 12 to 14. Can a man break iron? Iron from the north or bronze? This is Babylon, of course. Your wealth and your treasures I will give as plunder without charge because of all your sins throughout your country. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know. For my anger will kindle a fire that will burn against you. I'm sure Jeremiah is being reassured here. The message you have for this people, the burden you have for this people, the prophecy you have for this people, I will stand by it, says God. Have no fear. Raise your voice. I will keep my word. The prophet turns again to the Lord. He comes to his senses. Verse 15. You understand, O Lord. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. Here he is in the old covenant, and he longs for God to vindicate him. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. And then verse 16, when your words came, I ate them. I delighted in them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. I never sat with the company of revelers. I went alone. never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. I saw the paganism, I saw the idolatry, I saw the worldliness, I saw the breaking of the covenant, and it grieved me. I wept over them. I preached against it, I proclaimed against it, I warned them of it. I've been alone. I delighted in your word. I didn't turn my back upon it. I've been separate from the crowd. And in his grief, he opens his heart to God. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? In England, we have places called Winterbourne. That is because in the winter, the streams there run with water. It's clay soil, it's chalky soil rather, and in winter the rivers, the streams run, but Winterbourne. But in the summer, these streams dry up. And this is what Jeremiah is speaking of here. Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? He's gone too far here, but he's speaking out in his honesty. He's being foolish here. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, verse 19, if you repent, if you come to your right mind, if you come to your senses, if you restore your thinking, I will restore you that you may serve me. Come back to that position. Give up this fear. Give up this doubt. Give up this question. I am not being deceptive. I have not yet brought my judgment upon this people, but it will come. Isaiah preached 100 years before the judgment came. Jeremiah is preaching at the very time it's come, Ezekiel 2. But these men have to wait. Brother and sister, we have to wait. The harvest takes time to come. But if the people will go on in today's paganism, the harvest will come. We must proclaim against it. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. What a word for all faithful brothers and sisters, faithful preachers, today standing against the tide. The wind is contrary. The tide is strong. The pressure is heavy. We are weak. The burden is great. But, the Lord is with us. I will make you as a wall. I will make you a fortified wall of bronze. I will not let them overcome you. I am with you. I will rescue you and save you. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. Boldness, courage, bravery. Preachers today who stand scripturally and faithfully for God are lonely men. Lonely women, too, who make their stand. We need boldness. How often this comes over in the New Covenant. Acts 4:23 and on. Lord, give your servants boldness to preach your word. Even when we are persecuted, give us boldness to preach your word. Ephesians 6:19-20. Pray for me that I may preach the word boldly, fearlessly. Acts 14:3. And he goes on and on with confidence, with boldness. We need this courage, brother and sister. God is speaking to us. We have our doubts. We are lonely. We are fearful. But we need backbone. Remember the illustration I've used it before. Spurgeon was passing a glue factory one day with a notice on the door. Bones required, it said. Bones required. He said, yes, and mostly backbones. Backbone. Have we got backbone, brother, sister? Will you have this backbone? With all your fears and doubts and loneliness, will you still go on holding forth the word of life, confronting the paganism, the declension, the love of entertainment, the worldliness in the churches of Christ today, even in the ecclesia of Christ, this worldliness? Will you confront it still? Will you stand against it? It's lonely. It's fearful. The pressure is strong, but the promise is glorious. Let us hold forth the word of God still to this generation. May God make us a wall of bronze against this wicked tide against us. May God bless in our generation that we might see such a work of God as Jeremiah preaching. But may we have more success than he. I'm afraid his preaching failed in the sense that Judah went into exile. I warn the ecclesia engineers, mess about with the church at your peril. The judgment will come upon the churches for it, and you will carry the can. Ezekiel 33, we carry the can, James 3, 1. May God bless this discourse to us, the prophet and God. Brother and sister, go to God in secret and come out boldly in public for the Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen.